الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وحبيبه وخليله قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected ulama ikram, elders, brothers, sisters that may be listening over the receivers, and young ones in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As we are on the doorstep of the month of Ramadan, and it was the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that from the onset of the month of Rajab, he would begin conscientizing, reminding, reciting various du'as, like the du'a in which he used to recite, that Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. O Allah, grant us barakah, blessing, tawfiq in the months of Rajab and Sha'ban, so that we reach Ramadan in the right state of mind, with the right type of preparation. So I thought it appropriate to discuss some practical applications, some practical prescriptions on how we can prepare ourselves for the month of Ramadan that is on our doorstep. In the verse of the Quran Sharif that I recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala diagnoses the problem that we all have. It's a diagnosis of our problem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ, the constant vying, the constant competition for the amassing of the things of this world, the temporary things of this world, this has deviated us from our primary objective. And if we have to reflect for a moment on life, the way time passes today, the way our lives are spent, then from morning to evening, if we just do a tally, objectively, that how much of our time, from the number of seconds that you have in the day, how many seconds are spent in the accumulation of the things of this world, whether it be wealth or status or influence or power, whatever the different forms, the tangible and intangible things of this world that we pursue, we amass, which the Quran Sharif is saying, it has distracted you. So, it is a very, very small portion of the time that is spent on what should the real focus be. And the bulk of the time, the bulk of the worries and the concerns are spent on something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us is not the priority. So when reflecting myself over what should be the actions that we take in preparing for the month of Ramadan, the one point which comes to mind is that we first need to prioritize ourselves mentally. Mentally we need to prepare ourselves for the month of Ramadan. Mentally, the preparation that needs to be there is that we need to recognize that the priority as far as our deen goes is the akhirat. But we'll say, yes, we all accept that. But this acceptance that is required is not a lip service. Because the Quran Sharif also talks about recognition of the day of judgment. You know, in speaking to the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدِّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ, those people are true believers who bear testimony to the truthfulness, to the veracity, to the authenticity of the day of Qiyamah. But the Mufassireen explain that the believers already accept it. But what is meant here is that they accept it, they confirm it by proving it with their actions, by proving it through action. So they live their life in a manner that it's clear that this person has prioritized his hereafter. Once we acknowledge that, once we understand that indeed this is my focus, this needs to be my focus, So the month of Ramadan is coming in particular, and in life in general, during the 11 months of the year in general, that my focus needs to be my akhirat. Again, here, it will be useful to elaborate a little bit on this point and explain that according to the writings of our ulama, and again, one of the primary themes of the Quran Sharif, if you read through the Quran Sharif, one of the common themes which it is emphasized again and again. In fact, in the surahs which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam most often used to recite on the day of Jummah, in the Jummah Salah, Suratul A'la, in the end Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. The one who is successful is the one who purifies his soul. In other words, there's a direct correlation. There's a direct correlation, there's a link between the akhirat, the hereafter, and the soul. And there's a link between this dunya and the body. The body is dictating that fulfill my desires, fulfill my needs only. Prioritize this. And the akhirat, the link of the akhirat is saying that no, give that balance, give that food, give that nutrition also to the soul. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us so frequently with regards to this aspect. But I want to quickly share one point which is given by none other than the great scholar, or the great thinker of Islam, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh. He had written, and he said that one of the keys to happiness, to success, is also that an individual achieves the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Achieves the recognition, because that is his primary objective. And he explains this so that we understand what does it mean that you'll be happy once you achieve the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he explains this by saying that it is without a doubt the highest application of the faculties of insan, of a human being. The highest application of his faculties, of his abilities, is to be able to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the manner that he deserves to be recognized. Now that recognition, the awareness of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of different levels. It's of different levels. Someone will say, yes, we all accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the oneness of Allah. But there are different degrees of the awareness and the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the higher that one can strive to those levels, what was it after all that then made the Sahaba ikram, and on many occasions Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that entire nights they would stand in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why my late Shaykh Hazrat Mahakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, Tajalli harik dil ki akhtar alag hai. Tajalli harik dil ki akhtar alag hai. Meherbaniya jitni qurbaniya hai. O akhtar, the manifestation of the greatness of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, differs for each heart. Every heart experiences a different level of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that much of it a person will experience and enjoy according to how much of sacrifice and effort one makes for that. So, nonetheless, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says that this is a key factor for an individual achieving happiness. Why? Because it is the highest application of the abilities of insan. So any person that falls short in our lives, if we look, if I have some skill or ability or some expertise, and I am unable to apply that, it will obviously impact my being happy. It will impact my being happy, feeling of fulfillment. So one of the things we need to recognize is that as individuals, as human beings, when we are body and soul, one of the requirements of the soul to be content, to be at ease, is to achieve this recognition of the Creator. Without this, the ulama have written, like Imam Ghazali Mahalli has confirmed, that it will be impossible for that person to achieve true happiness. So the first thing that we need to do, the first thing that we need to emphasize and we need to prioritize in preparation is the mental preparedness. The mental preparedness. The great poet of Pakistan, Allama Iqbal, rahmatullah alayh, he used to say, addressing the people, addressing the believers, addressing the youth, he would say, Nahi hai tera nasheman qasre sultani ke gumbat par. Nahi hai tera nasheman qasre sultani ke gumbat par. Tu shahi hai basera kar paharon ki chatano par. He says, oh believer, in fact he's addressing a falcon, he's saying to them, you are like a falcon. Right? That falcon that is sitting on the domes of the king's palace, he's saying to that falcon, that is not the place where you should be sitting. O believer, you're chasing what Allah Ta'ala is saying, that Alhaakumut Takathur, focusing on only the amassing of the things of this world. That is a very, very low objective that you've set for yourself. That is a very low objective that you set for yourself. So he's saying to the falcon that you are sitting, you've chosen the domes of the king's palace, but your capacity, your ability is to be soaring high in the sky above the mountains. So you have shortchanged yourself. You have shortchanged yourself. So the first thing we need to do is to recognize that if we want to achieve our true ability, is mentally prepare. This is an opportunity. Like the many, many opportunities that come throughout the year. Even in the month of Sha'ban, the night of the 15th of Sha'ban, Allah Ta'ala gives different opportunities to individuals to maximize their potential. So this, the month of Ramadan is coming. One of the opportunities, one of the aspects that we need to prepare ourselves with is a mental preparedness. The mental preparedness to recognize, once we recognize that our capacity is beyond simply the amassing of the things of this world, then we are on the right track immediately, because we have recognized, just like that falcon sees, that as much as it might be a high and a supposedly a position of nobility which the people around may look at, but in reality, there's far more that can be achieved. So this is the first aspect. The second aspect in terms of the preparedness or preparation for the month of Ramadan is the physical dimension. In the months of Rajab and Sha'ban, it is reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast very, very frequently. Now if we cannot fast in most of the month, then at least try some nawafil fast during this month. It is not farz or wajib, but it will help a person. It will help us to prepare physically also for the month of Ramadan. The Mondays and Thursdays, it is sunnah to fast. The 13th, 14th and 15th of the month, it is sunnah to fast. Ayyam e Bid, that is as it is known. So these actions gain us that closeness. It prepares both the body and the soul for being able to receive the training that is going to be made available in the month of Ramadan, and to increase our capacity. And on that note, when it comes to physical preparation, much of the preparation, unfortunately, it's centered around preparing the eats and the sweets and the, you know, which is fine. No one is saying that it is not. But when it comes to physical preparation, even looking after our bodies and eating in the correct way, you know, again Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi writes that there is a direct correlation between good behavior, good actions, and a person eating in moderation. And there is a clear evidence that where people are involved in overeating, it results in where the nafs also then has strength, and it overpowers a person then, and results in that person then engaging in a lot. So sometimes ensuring that we're eating in moderation, eating in the manner that is healthy, this is also part of our deen. But the only thing that we'll focus on is we'll ask, you know, on the day on Jummah, we'll say, must we eat the soji before the dal goes or after the dal goes? Forgetting that the guidelines with regards to general healthy eating, which are part and parcel of our deen. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, bulk of the time there would be very, very simple food, not even more than one dish, most of the time. On one occasion, on a simple meal, there was some milk, there were some dates. And the same verse of the Quran Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, and after eating, partaking from some milk and some dates, he teared and he said, لَتُسْأَلُنَّ عَنْ هَذَا النَّعِيمِ. You will be asked about these blessings on the day of Qiyamah. These are also great, great blessings. So nevertheless, this was the aspect with regards to the physical preparation for the month of Ramadan. Then the next dimension is, many of us, the month of Ramadan, with being one of the months in the Islamic calendar, perhaps the most prominent month, many of us, although it is not necessary that it be this month alone, identify and we pinpoint this month for the calculation or for the distribution of our zakat. So this is a very, very important aspect, the financial preparedness. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَتُصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. that take from their wealth, it becomes a form of purification. It becomes a form, so a financial preparation. But this zakat that is emphasized on us, it is prescribed on us, it is not something that is done in a haphazard manner. The Quran Sharif, when it speaks about zakat on numerous occasions, it says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاتِ فَاعِلُونَ. Those who conscientiously carry out their zakat. So it requires that there be a proper calculation. Unfortunately, on many occasions, particularly with business people, we are guilty of the fact that, you know, we say that, okay, we'll just take out some amount as zakat. But the right way is that we calculate the zakat. We cannot be giving our zakat correctly if we don't know how much of stock we have. It is not possible then. How will you be able to calculate your zakat if we don't know? So this is part and parcel of ensuring that our zakat is carried out correctly, that it is calculated in the correct manner. Obviously, we don't have time to go into the detailed masail, but broadly speaking, when we look at businesses, then the aspect of the trading stock, the stock in trade, the debtors minus the trade creditors and plus the cash, broadly speaking, these are the figures that we need to have accurate figures for in order to discharge our zakat obligation, to calculate the zakat correctly. And thereafter we should ensure that those funds reach the recipients that are deserving of zakat. So that covers the financial aspect of the preparation for the month of Ramadan. But again, it is not necessary that a person's year, the annual zakat year, falls in the month of Ramadan. But for those of us that it does fall in the month of Ramadan, then now is the time to start preparing whatever is required in order to ensure that we have the information at our disposal on the day that the zakat year falls due, to make the necessary calculations and then ensure that we're discharging the zakat in the correct manner as taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the fourth dimension that we can speak about in terms of preparation for the month of Ramadan is the emotional preparation. The emotional preparation. And I usually speak about this a little bit later in the discussion, but deliberately I want to bring it a bit forward, is that the environment, the elders and brothers, that we are living in today, the environment, the economic conditions that we face, is conditions of extreme stress. Extreme stress. Whether you speak to established business people, whether you speak to sometimes wealthy individuals, there is a lot of stress. So where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us, those of us, with resources, with assets, it requires a very, very conscientious approach to ensure that our hearts are soft. Believe me, dear brothers and elders, that there are entire chapters of our books of hadith that are dedicated to ensuring that our hearts remain soft. Unfortunately, the constant pursuit of the material things of this world has an impact. It has an impact on the heart. And what happens is an individual begins focusing only and solely on himself and his family. And this is something which is at odds. It is foreign to the teachings of what our deen has taught us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in general, is an extremely generous person. And they say when the month of Ramadan came, it was like he was a wind that was blowing with generosity. A wind that was blowing. So what is required then? You may ask, what is required? Those of us that may not have much resources, what is required? We are not saying that everyone has the ability to be giving out charity in sadaqat in large amounts. This is not the only way. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that any form of assistance that we can offer each other, to the extent that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that even assisting a person to mount his conveyance, this is a form of sadaqah. تُعِينُ رَجُلًا عَلَى دَابَّتِهِ صَدَقَةٌ تُغِيثُ الْمَلْهُوفِ صَدَقَةٌ. Someone is experiencing fear, depression, difficulty. But the point that I am making is that emotional preparedness for the month of Ramadan, if we want to be emotionally prepared, the heart of a believer is alive to the issues that are around him. He cannot be carrying on normal, and it is not just about engaging in some act of ibadat. Indeed, every act of ibadat that we are taught is important. But it is not empty of the emotions that go around it. Of the society that we the difficulties that society is experiencing. So it is extremely important to be aware. Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah ta'ala says that وَمَن يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Those that have been protected from the right translation, perhaps the literal translation is from the stinginess of themselves. That tendency, that innate tendency to focus only on yourself, if you can be protected from that, it's a natural, naturally a person is inclined to worry about himself or herself first. But if you can avoid that temptation, if you can fight that temptation, and take out time in your day and in your life and from your resources and from your time for other people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Those are the successful ones. Those are the successful ones. And time is not sufficient, but there are numerous verses of the Quran Sharif which speak about the same thing. Which speak about the same thing, that care, concern for others has a direct effect on the strength of a person's iman. فَلَقْتَحَمَ الْعَقَبَ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْعَقَبَ فَكُّ رَقَبَةٍ أَوْ إِطْعَامٌ فِي يَوْمٍ ذِي مَسْغَبَةٍ يَتِيمًا ذَا مَقْرَبَةٍ أَوْ مِسْكِينًا ذَا مَتْرَبَةٍ ثُمَّ كَانَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْمَرْحَمَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us, why doesn't insan climb that steep slope? The steep slope of doing what? Of caring for others. Those that are hungry, those that are destitute, those that may be facing some kind of difficulty, that beggar that is down in the dust. And they have two types. Quran Sharif says in another place, وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. Some people have the courage to ask, and others don't even have the courage to ask. But Allah Ta'ala says that the true believers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are conscious, they are alive to the fact that there are people that may be suffering, and they are offering that assistance in whatever form it can be. It need not be financial. Often today, some of the biggest problems that people face are emotional. Simply sharing the grief of someone, or sharing the worries and the sorrows of someone. But this self-centeredness, this selfishness, that preoccupation with the self, this is something that we need to remove ourselves from if we want to be truly prepared to receive the blessings of the month of Ramadan. So this is what we refer to as the emotional preparation for the month of Ramadan. Then obviously there is the spiritual side. The spiritual preparedness for the month of Ramadan, there are various actions that we can carry out. But one of the simplest things, because we are speaking about practical things that we can do. Practical things that we can do. The easiest thing that we can do is to ensure that we stay away from sins. We stay away from sins. Now what is the prescription, the easy way to stay away from sins? Again, there is a constant tussle, because of one of the dictates of the body, which is innately connected with the sand that we are made from, with this dunya, is that it pulls a person towards sin. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. The ability of a person to stay away from sins is directly influenced by the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want to draw the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not on an individual's own ability. Sometimes the person says, no, I have made up my mind that I don't want to do a certain thing. And still yet we fall into it. Ask those people, unfortunately, that are involved in different types of activities, impermissible things. They may be like, for example, drug abuse, etc. They just get pulled away into it. Again, so then what is the solution? The solution is that we seek from the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek. And how can we seek from the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One prescription is that we stay in the company of those that are already receiving the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we stay in that good company, then we will not be influenced to be doing the wrong things. Unfortunately, there are so many different types of distractions. Yet there's so much of knowledge, so much of opportunities for us to improve, to better ourselves in permissible ways. But we have found other things that distract us, that take us away. So try and find those opportunities, whether it is the programs that take place at the different masajid on the different nights, or informal, in exchanges with ulama and scholars and pious ones. Another very effective way of drawing the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is simply to do the daily azkar. Now someone will say that, I'm not bait to any sheikh. Here we're not talking about some specific dhikr that has been prescribed by a specific, simple azkar which have been prescribed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the person who recites La ilaha illallah 100 times in the day, that's all, La ilaha illallah, with focus, with reflection, if we recite, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that that person's his face will shine like the full moon on the day of Qiyamah. So the ulama write that, what does it mean that your face will shine like the full moon on the day of Qiyamah? They write that it means that that person will be given the tawfiq and the ability to do those actions which will enable his face to shine like the full moon. In other words, it means that simply reciting La ilaha illallah 100 times in the day has the power to draw the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ensure that the person is carrying out those actions which will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must try these prescriptions out. These are tried and tested things. The other aspects with regards to spiritual preparedness for the month of Ramadan is that a little bit of nawafil salah, if we can try and recite. If we cannot wake up for tahajjud, it is ideal. There is very, very great virtue for waking up for tahajjud. But the ulama have written that the person that recites, that performs two rakat nafil salah after the two sunnats of Isha, so the four farz and the two sunnats, and he recites two rakats nafil salah, that also counts towards a person having performed tahajjud salah. Look at how easy and simple it is. And these are all opportunities again to link us up, to enable us to achieve our true objective. The true objective to be that falcon that is flying, soaring above the mountains. Be that person that is flying in the love, high in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not stuck in the material things of this world. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give each and every one of us the tawfiq to make amal on what has been said, including myself. May He remove the difficulties, the hardships, the calamities facing the ummah. May He soften our hearts. May He enable us to have a heart that cries in His love. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that heart that we are concerned about those that are around us, not simply worried about our own lives. That way we will experience the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the true beauty of the teachings of deen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.